in the political system of the Islamic Iran are based on popular rule and the effectiveness of participation in decision-making. Election in Iran is a religious and social obligation. It is manifested as a part of the individual rights of people. In view of this, people participate in four elections to choose president, members of parliament, members of city and village Islamic councils, and a guardians council. Accordingly, holding of elections has always cemented the popular pillars of the Islamic Republic system, and the activists of political and social arenas present their views and plans in various fields to set the ground for election of the most qualified person.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. This is A to Z, coming to you from IRIB English Radio, and I'm your host, Ali. This radio show is about Islamic lifestyle, and in each episode, we will be talking about a different lesson. Please stay with us till the end of today's program. Today's lesson, the pillars of character. Well, for a monotheist, it is essential to possess a solid character, someone who believes in Allah, His Prophet, and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam must possess a firm and positive character. Here are a few pillars of good character. Number one, trustworthiness. Number two, respect. Number three, responsibility. Number four, fairness. Number five, caring. Last but not the least, number six, civic sense. Now, one can argue that there could be many more pillars of character, and we're open to that, and that's fine. But according to one classification, some of our scholars have divided a good character to be dependent on these pillars. So let's talk a little bit about the first one, which is trustworthiness. How can I be trustworthy in my life? Well, one of the things you need to do is to be honest in communications and actions, right? Then don't deceive, cheat, or steal. Be reliable. Do what you say you will do. Having the courage to do the right thing. You know, sometimes we know what the right thing is, but we don't step forward to perform it. Build a good reputation. You know, this is by being in that constant state of goodness, you build a good reputation. Be loyal. Stand by your family, friends, and relatives. Keep your promises. Right? We know that Prophet and Imams, they were very strict when it comes to the promises they make. Every time they would make a promise to anyone, to a Muslim, to a non-Muslim, they would try their best to keep it. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing the pillars of character. And we said that, You know, we have listed just six of them, and there could be many pillars, but these six seem to be the most important: trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, fairness, caring, and civic sense. Now, let's talk about, after trustworthiness, let's talk about this respect. Well, in human society, we all are thirsty for respect, right? It's a need of a human society, and it's a mutual thing. There's no one party in the world who would not want to be respected. No individual, no group, no political organization, no, you know, government, no. Nobody likes to be humiliated. They all like to be respected. Now, how do we take this notion of respect at an individual and personal level? Well, treat others with respect and follow the golden rule. You respect them, they respect you back. Be tolerant and accepting of differences. Unfortunately, this is something which is missing in many circles today. If you look at people, the intolerance has gotten to an unprecedented level, unfortunately. Then using good manners, not using bad language. You know, sometimes we're just too casual and we start using foul language, bad language. Remember that anybody who's listening to you using curse words and, God forbid, you know, and foul language, know that they don't respect you. Even if they laugh when you do that, in their heart, they don't respect you. Then be considerate of the feelings of others, because everybody has feelings here. Don't threaten, hit, or hurt anyone. Deal peacefully with anger, insults, and disagreements. These are a few of the tips that we wanted to convey to you in today's episode. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight. The World Health Organization, WHO, said on Friday, 21st of May, that official death tolls from the COVID-19 pandemic are likely to be a significant undercount, estimating that the true figure of direct and indirect deaths could be 2 to 3 times higher. We now present you an article written jointly by John Revel and Emma Farge. The piece is titled, World Health Organization Says Real COVID-19 Death Toll 2 to 3 times Above Official Figures. The article was published by the Reuters news agency. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, the actual number of direct and indirect fatalities due to the coronavirus pandemic may be 2 to 3 times higher than officially registered. World Health Organization's Assistant Director General in its Data and Analytics Division, Samira Asma, in a virtual press briefing recently said, "We're likely facing a significant undercount of total deaths directly and indirectly attributed to COVID-19. She added, "So I think safely about 6 to 8 million deaths could be an estimate on a cautionary note." Samira Asma added that With the surging death toll in Latin America and in Asia, the death toll would truly be 2 to 3 times higher. Presenting its annual World Health Statistics report, the World Health Organization further estimated that total deaths due to the contagion in 2020 were at least 3 million, or 1.2 million more than the 1.8 million official figure. The United Nations body cited the lack of reliable systems to log deaths in many countries, noting that in numerous cases people had died from COVID-19 before they had been tested for the virus. The World Health Organization statistics also indicated that nearly 3.4 million people had died globally by 20th of May as a result of the COVID-19 outbreak, though the real figure could be substantially higher. World Health Organization data analyst William Samburi further explained that the elevated estimates include both unreported COVID-19 fatalities as well as indirect deaths, such as patients not seeking health care for other conditions due to the lack of hospital capacity and imposed lockdown restrictions, among other factors. According to the organization, even in regions with relatively reliable reporting systems, undercounts were likely, which also estimated 1.1 to 1.2 million excess deaths in the European region during 2020, double the 600,000 COVID-19 deaths officially registered so far. In the Americas, it added, the number of excess deaths was 1.3 to 1.5 million throughout last year, 60% higher than the reported 900,000 COVID-19 fatalities in that region. On Friday, 21st of May, the coronavirus death toll in Latin America and the Caribbean surpassed the 1 million mark as the outbreak deteriorated in that part of the world with the highest per capita fatality rate. The top 8 countries registering the most COVID-19 deaths per capita over the past days were all in Latin America. On average, 31% of the coronavirus deaths across the globe this month have been in Latin America and the Caribbean, home to only 8.4% of the world's population. The head of the COVID-19 program at one of Mexico's main hospitals, Dr. Francisco Moreno Sanchez, who is also a key critic of the government's vaccination plan, said, "Instead of preparing for the pandemic, we minimized the disease, saying that tropical heat would deactivate the virus." He said, "Unfortunately, we're among the most affected regions, where the handling of the pandemic has been the most mistaken, and now we are suffering the consequences." In Peru, which is among the hardest hit nations in the region, COVID-19 patients have died in crowded hospital corridors of the capital, Lima. This is while deep in the Amazon jungles of Brazil, many residents of the city of Manaus have died at home with no oxygen to fill damaged lungs after supplies ran out this year. Most of the deaths across South America, more than 446,000 deaths, have occurred in Brazil, which became a COVID-19 epicenter this year with the second deadliest outbreak outside of the United States. Brazil's health ministry announced on Friday, 21st of May, the country registered 2,215 new deaths from the contagion in the past 24 hours, pushing Latin America's total above the 1 million mark. The government of Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, a vaccine skeptic and opponent of lockdowns, is being investigated by a parliamentary commission for failing to plan a national drive against COVID-19 and not buying vaccines in time. Brazil remains the third most affected country in the world in terms of confirmed COVID-19 cases, behind only India and the United States. It has the highest death toll in the region, followed by Mexico and Colombia, which combined represent about 74% of all deaths in Latin America. Brazilian senator leading the upper house's inquiry into the government's handling of the crisis said recently, President Jair Bolsonaro never wanted to purchase COVID-19 vaccines and originally bet on herd immunity beating the coronavirus. Senator Renan Calheiros added in an interview that it is too early to say if Jair Bolsonaro has committed any criminal offense in his management of the public health crisis and that more investigation is required. Senator Calheiros said the president first denied the disease, called it a flu, and then argued against social isolation and lockdown. Then he played down the use of wearing face masks and encouraged crowds to gather. He added, "Why is that? Because of herd immunity, the natural immunity you have to encourage crowds and the spread of the virus." Calheiros said of Bolsonaro, "This is why he never wanted a vaccine," noting that the president was slow in spending billions of dollars given to him by Congress earlier in the pandemic to buy vaccines from overseas. Herd immunity occurs when a large portion of a given population achieves immunity to a disease, sometimes through widespread infection, thereby reducing the chances of person-to-person spread. Bolsonaro has drawn criticism from detractors in Brazil due to his efforts to minimize the dangers of the coronavirus, shunning face masks and push unproven remedies. Vaccinations in South America lag behind much of the world. In South America, just 15% of the people have received at least one dose of the vaccine, compared with 28% in Europe and 34% in North America. According to the World Health Organization figure, through to 19th of May, only Asia and Africa are lower at 5% and 1% respectively. The Pan American Health Organization has slammed glaring gaps in access to COVID-19 vaccines in Latin America. The Pan American Health Organization director, Carissa Etienne, said recently, "Just 3% of Latin Americans have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. We urgently need more vaccines." Vaccine supplies have been slow to arrive in most countries, and inoculation programs have been disorganized in several countries. Pediatric surgeon Kurt Paulson, who runs a vaccination site in Latin America region, said, "Vaccination has lacked strategic planning. At first, they bought lots of different vaccines with no information to show people what they are being injected with."
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pit.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamadi.
Islamadi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask his blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم. Welcome to IRIB English Radio Station. You guys are listening to Youth Station.
That's a lot of stations in one sentence.
With me today, with Brother Habib, is Sister Zainab. Now, Sister, do you have COVID? Are you positive?
I am positive that I am negative.
Oh, that you're negative. Have you taken the PCR test?
No.
Have you taken the PCR test?
No, I've never needed to.
Oh, you haven't traveled in COVID.
Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah, by the way. I have not. Oh my God.
What happened?
I just realized it's been almost 2 years since I've traveled.
Oh.
See? Oh my God.
That's really an oh my God, really.
That is an oh my God. I want to go to Karbala so bad. I haven't seen my family in over 2 years. In 2 years. Over 2 years. I haven't seen my mama. I haven't seen my baby brother. So sad. I haven't seen Abu Abdullah. I haven't seen Amir al-Mu'mineen. And it just hurts my heart, you know?
Because we're all going through the same thing.
That is not true. That is a whole load of BS.
That's why we have this program today. To talk about that BS.
Yes, because we are not going through, all of us, the same thing.
Yeah.
There are some people that are absolutely untouched, unhindered by this almost 2-year-old pandemic.
Even more, they've gained a lot.
They've actually gained and they've become richer and they've made more money and they've just leached and sucked every ounce of life and wealth from this society.
I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, right? I remember the famous people, the actors especially, they were like, stay at your homes, please don't go outside. And what were they were getting paid, they were getting they were living in their mansions, they were living with those humongous backyards with the perfect view. And they were telling a person living in Nubahar, who lives in a 60-meter house, square meter house, and with four children,
exactly,
and stay in their house for how long?
God knows
how long.
Yeah.
And if they don't go outside, they're going to blow up, usually.
They really are. So basically, it's easy for you to say, like you said, you're living in your mansion with your yard that is so big.
Who has a tennis court in their house? Do they even play tennis?
So big that you have to travel through it in a cart, like in a little car.
Yeah.
You know, you need a walkie-talkie to communicate with the other person in the other room because your house is so huge. And you're like sitting there, oh, please stay home and don't go out and think of other people. And like, dude, your house is as big as my city. Just don't talk like that, right? That's one.
But also the work part, you know.
So many people lost their jobs and homes.
Yes, not only that.
Due to this pandemic.
There's this concept where we didn't have mercy on each other, especially at the beginning of the pandemic. Let's be honest with this.
You know, what?
Especially with the toilet paper.
Kinder?
You know, like thinking about others. We're only thinking about ourselves.
During or before?
During the beginning of the pandemic. You want me to bring up an example? Aside from toilet paper.
Because, you know, America never...
One of my friends has a... He sells smartphones. He's renting his shop. He's renting a shop in a plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The owner wanted 3 months of payment.
Up front?
Not up front. But after the pandemic. And you know the laws that we had to close the shops. We had to do that. Not my fault. Yeah, so that person lost his job. He lost his job. He fell into really below the line of poverty. And he lost, his capital, his money. And he's really just fell into, you know, this state of not knowing what to do anymore. It's been 2 years. And he's been living on charities. He's been living on donations and still can't get to his feet correctly.
Oh, my God.
See how harsh that is? How easy was it for that person to just forget that rent or to at least give him time?
Exactly.
To at least give him time, you know, or to lower the rent. It's a pandemic. It hasn't hit one person, two person.
Exactly. It's a pandemic. It's not one person.
There are even family members. There's even this one man that I know. I've worked at the same institute.
If you make me cry.
He passed away, yes. I'm going to tell you what happened. His homeowner wouldn't allow him to, you know, to give him in debt or in loan, right? To wait for him to, you know, pay the rent. So he had to go to his job. Going to his job.
He got corona and he passed away. I don't have the mental capacity for this sadness. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Different people. God knows, Brother Habib, God knows the owner of that shop lot or the owner of that house wasn't even in dire need of that money. A person who has enough money to owe a piece of land somewhere out there, trust me, they have money, all right? Usually they have money. They are not suffering from immediate poverty like that person's family is now going through because their breadwinner died.
Yeah.
Or your friend is going through right now because he's this young kid, probably two babies, and he just lost his only means for income.
Yep.
And now imagine this on a huger scale.
Same thing here.
Company owners, factory owners, they're not losing sleep over people dying, over people running out of the necessities of their everyday lives, over people worrying about whether their children are going to be safe or not. If I am going to bring corona to the home, I am living with my elderly parents, they're not leaving.
There's also this concept of, you know, those high-class people everywhere around the world, everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere. What happens is that one of them gets corona. They don't go to the hospital. The hospital comes to them. That's also something very vital, very important. That one of the reasons that we've been telling people to stay home is that because we're not going to have enough room for beds.
Mm.
All right.
How sad is that?
That's very sad that only a few people can afford, only just like one layer of society can afford to bring the hospital to them, to bring that oxygen tank to them, to the home, and then the rest of the people can't. You know, there are a lot of things, looking back, there are a lot of things that we could have done much better. There are a lot of things that we could have, you know, helped, you know, a lot of things that we did that were wrong at the time. And, you know, it just, all of it fell together.
You know, in all fairness, I agree with you. And also, in all fairness, in a lot of people's defense, it can be said that this is the first time they're experiencing a pandemic of this scale. And in the beginning, like the few first months, we really didn't know how to react.
People were dying from fear.
Exactly. And we're in a state of panic. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? We're all going to die in front of time.
And then we get a seizure.
Right? Exactly. And they had a seizure or like a heart attack or something. And it wasn't even corona. But my problem is with the rich who got richer and the poor who got poorer. The rich, their focus is on being rich. Whether it's a pandemic, whether it's a world war, whether it's
peace and harmony.
Peace and harmony, whether it's global warming, whether it's election, pre-election, post-election, whatever.
As long as there's time in this world.
Exactly. Their focus is on being rich, and that's what they know how to do. So their excuse cannot be that, oh, there was a pandemic, we panicked. No, you know exactly how to get rich. That's your job. You know exactly how to do it even during a pandemic. And you use this horrible situation to your advantage, and you hurt so many people. And that makes me so angry. Also, sure, when the pandemic first started and there was a lockdown, I was over the moon. I was so happy and excited.
Because you stayed at home.
Yes, because I'm an introvert, mm-hmm. and I have social anxiety. Imagine telling someone who's introverted and has social anxiety that, Zainab, stay at home, we'll pay you. It's like a dream.
You got paid while you were home?
Well, I was working from home. Right. I actually think I was even working more when I was at home than I was at the office. But it was like a dream come true for me. But then now, fast forward, almost it's been a year and March, April, May, a year and 3 months. I'm getting bored of this pandemic. I want to travel again. I want to go home.
See the lies of society where they state they are introverts and they don't like society begin to show. Yes.
I need to go home. In order to get home, I must travel.
You reminded me of Sandy Cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
The episode where she wanted to go to Texas.
Yeah. And have frozen kale juice.
Yeah, but SpongeBob and Patrick brought Texas to her because they're good friends. You don't have SpongeBob and Patrick.
It's a pandemic. I haven't seen my family in over 2 years. Wonderful. Anyway, my
Your hubby's still there.
God bless. No, actually. There's a clip where two Indian men carried their mother's corpse, okay, their dead mother, by motorcycle to the outskirts of the city because they couldn't pay for the hospital. And the that whole burning system that they have to dispose of the dead bodies in India. While in India, which is the second most populous country in the world, we have gajillionaires. One of the most paid actors in the world lives in India. He knows who he is. What is this madness? What is this madness, bro? We've been hoarding and collecting money and sitting on our pile of gold like some sort of sicko hobbiton dragon. People are literally dying, and they wouldn't be if they were just given a little help and assistance and aid and time and patience.
I have nothing to say.
We're failing as a humanity, and this pandemic really proved that we need to up our game. We need to for real up our game, and we need to be more careful, and we need to take better care of each other as a community. And this is one of the blessings, the eye-opening blessings that coronavirus gifted us. What else did you learn from the pandemic?
People have no mercy with each other. That's the only thing I learned. There are some good people out there that really thought about others and really helped, yes, but they are very few, very, very few, limited. Me personally, the corona didn't change my life at all because I was still going out, only the classes. The only thing that I understood is that online classes are a failure.
Serious.
Failure. Even that working bad? At home to some extent is a failure. I believe your child is an angel and your cat is an angel. You don't have two devils running around the house.
No, I don't. I
holding water guns and spraying at your laptop and breaking your laptop.
Oh
yes.
My God.
Yes. 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 I am currently without a computer.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So it depends on the person. But me personally, other than my classes and, you know, the work that I do at home usually, I have been living my life normal. Even from the first day where everything went into lockdown, even where everything was closed, I was still going to my job. Yeah, because I had the key to the office. So I was still able to go there, still able to work, do my job, you know, and my lessons.
Actually, we're one of the lucky ones. I'm not saying that we're filthy rich, but we're not cripplingly poor either.
I personally took the chance. I had a lot of plans, and then it came, right, where everything just got canceled.
Mm.
So I took advantage of that. That really just helped me out a lot.
Mm.
I took advantage of the time. I didn't just stay at home sitting down watching replays of Liverpool versus Barcelona, even though I did watch them twice. I could have watched it 8 times.
But I
could have watched it 100 times. But I didn't do that. Why? Because I want to keep it in my heart. Whenever I see that corner taken quickly, to scream. Yes. Now, of course, I was also, you know, my job. I have to do my job. I have to do my lessons. I have to, you know, prepare for some radio station shows.
But at the end of the day, guys, we're all on the same boat. If someone punches a hole through this boat, we're all going to drown. If someone lags on paddling, we're all going to get nowhere. If someone dies in that boat, it's going to stink up the entire boat and we're all going to get sick. So it's really, really important for us to just watch out for each other. Be a little bit more caring. Sure, we have to social distance. We can't touch each other. We always have to wear a mask. But that is not the essence of being human. Being human is kindness at heart. And we can carry it out now more than ever because we should.
Sister Zainab and Brother Habib from Youth Station, broadcasting from IRIB English Radio Station. Thank you guys for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator. Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver. My defender and my savior, my and guide us aware when I need you, a light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love.
In the limelight.
Racial justice advocates accused Louisiana State Police of attempting to cover up the fatal 2019 arrest of an unarmed black motorist whom troopers stunned, punched, kicked, dragged face down on the pavement and left handcuffed on the ground for more than 9 minutes after the Associated Press published video it obtained of the deadly encounter. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Brett Wilkins Ryder. This article is published under the heading Tortured to Death. Video showing fatal Louisiana arrest of unarmed black man sparks outrage. Stay tuned for the details, please. Racial justice advocates accused Louisiana State Police of attempting to cover up the fatal 2019 arrest of an unarmed black motorist whom troopers stunned, punched, kicked, dragged face down on the pavement and left handcuffed on the ground for more than 9 minutes after the Associated Press published video it obtained of the deadly encounter. The AP reports Louisiana State Police LSP officials initially told the relatives of the Ronald Green that the 49-year-old barber died from injuries sustained in a car crash that occurred as he led troopers on a high-speed chase following an unspecified traffic violation outside Monroe on May 10, 2019. However, the AP obtained police body camera footage that authorities withheld for 2 years, showing Green desperately apologizing as white officers brutally arrest him, repeatedly shooting him with a stun gun as he raises his hands in surrender inside his stopped car. As Green is attacked in his vehicle, he pleads, "I'm your brother. I'm scared. I'm scared." The officers identified in a wrongful death lawsuit as Troopers Dakota Moss and Corey York and Master Trooper Chris Hollingsworth then violently remove Green from the car and tackle him to the ground, where he's seen lying face down as he's placed in a chokehold and punched in the face by one officer while another calls him a stupid. Green apologizes but is stunned again before being handcuffed and shackled and then dragged across the ground. He's left there alone for over 9 minutes. The troopers offered no medical assistance despite Green's agonized moans. Several minutes later in the footage, Green is seen lying limp and unresponsive with blood flowing from his face and head. An ambulance eventually arrives and Green is shackled onto a gurney and taken to hospital where he was pronounced dead shortly after arrival. In a separate body camera microphone, a recording previously obtained by the AP. Hollingsworth boasts to colleagues that he bit Green, choked him, and everything else trying to get him under control, Hollingsworth says in the audio recording. He was spitting blood everywhere, and all of a sudden he just went limp. Last September, Hollingsworth died following a single vehicle highway accident hours after learning he would lose his job over his role in Green's death. According to a wrongful death lawsuit filed by Green's family, the trooper's excessive use of force left their victim beaten, bloodied, and in cardiac arrest. They murdered him. It was set out. It was planned, Green's mother, Mona Harden, told the AP recently. They didn't have a chance. Ronnie didn't have a chance. He wasn't going to live to tell about it. Lee Merritt, an attorney for Green's family, said the footage has some of the same hallmarks of George Floyd video. The length of it, the sheer brutality of it. He apologized in an attempt to surrender. This was a malicious attack on the side of the road on a fully surrendered man. Earlier this month, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty of murdering Floyd, an unarmed black man, by placing his knee on his neck for more than 9 minutes last May. The ACLU of Louisiana said bluntly that Ronald Green was tortured to death by officers who denied him life-saving aid for more than 9 minutes. According to Union Parish Coroner Rennie Smith, Green's death was accidental and caused by cardiac arrest. A report from Smith's office makes no mention of police violence. However, a medical report obtained by the AP shows an emergency room doctor almost immediately doubted Trooper's claim that Green died on impact after crashing his car into a tree. Noting the bloodied, bruised, and stunned corpse, the doctor wrote, does not add up. Ranking LSP officers initially claimed that the trooper's use of force against Green was justified, calling it awful but lawful. However, Andrew Scott, a use of force expert and former Boca Raton, Florida police chief, told the AP that while Green was not without fault, his treatment by the troopers was malicious, sadistic, and completely unnecessary. Former Baltimore Police Lieutenant Charles Key, another use of force expert, said the troopers were just dead wrong to leave Green beaten and shackled on the ground for so long. You don't leave somebody lying on the ground, particularly after you've had this fight, Key told the AP. The training has been for a number of years that as soon as you get someone under control, you put them on the other side to facilitate their breathing, and particularly this guy, because he was very heavy. LSP officials waited 474 days before opening an investigation into the events of May 10, 2019, according to the AP report. In its statement, LSP said that premature public release of investigative files and video evidence in this case is not authorized and undermines the investigative process and compromises the fair and impartial outcome. Of the surviving officers named in the lawsuit, York was suspended without pay for 50 hours for improper deactivation of his body camera. DeMoss was arrested in February for allegedly brutalizing another black man following a high-speed chase in May 2020 and then bragging about what he inflicted on his victim. Democratic Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards last year allowed Green's family to view the suppressed footage while promising to make the footage public following an investigation. The Washington Post reports the U.S. Department of Justice said recently that it is conducting an ongoing investigation of Green's death involving the DOJ's Civil Rights Division and the FBI. Merritt told the Post he was heartened by the fact that the Justice Department has been more active during the Biden administration. The trend that I'm seeing in 2021 in particular, it gives me hope, in this case, he said.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a speech delivered on May 7th, 2021 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution on the occasion of the International Al-Quds Day. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, in his speech on the occasion of International Quds Day, referring to the change in the balance of power in favor of Islamic world and Palestine, emphasized, I tell you with confidence the downward movement of the Zionist regime has started and will not stop.
Will the normalization of relations with a few weak and small countries be able to help that regime? Of course, those countries will not benefit from the relations either, as the Zionist regime will transgress against their properties and their land, and it will promote corruption and insecurity in their countries. Of course, these truths should not make others forget about their heavy duty. Muslim and Christian scholars should announce the act of normalization as haram from a religious perspective, and intellectuals and liberated individuals should explain to everyone the results of this treachery, which is a stab in the back of Palestine. Contrary to the downward movement of the regime, an increase in the capabilities of the camp of resistance is a sign of a bright future. An increase in defensive and military power, self-sufficiency in building effective weapons, the self-confidence of mujahids, the increasing awareness of youth, the extension of the resistance circle to the entire country of Palestine and beyond, the recent uprising of youth in defending Masjid al-Aqsa and the simultaneous promotion of the Palestinian nation's spirit of jihad and innocence among public opinion in many parts of the world.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last and tomorrow we all can go home free and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
The logic behind the Palestinian cause, which has been proposed by the Islamic Republic of Iran and has been registered in the United Nations documents, is a progressive and attractive logic. Palestinian warriors can bring up the idea of holding a referendum with the participation of the main inhabitants of Palestine. The referendum will determine the political system of the country, and the main inhabitants, including the displaced Palestinians, no matter what their ethnicity and religion are, will participate in it. That political system will bring back the displaced Palestinians and will determine the fate of the foreigners inhabiting there. This demand is based on the common democracy accepted in the whole world, and no one can question its progressiveness. The Palestinian fighters should continue their legitimate and moral fight against the usurping regime until it is forced to give in to this demand. Move forward in the name of God and know that Allah will certainly aid those who aid His cause. The Holy Quran, chapter 22, verse 40. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Around the world with reporters.
For the second week in a row, a march in Paris for Palestine has been banned by the French authorities. The only authorized demonstration was a static gathering, but these restrictions had at least one positive outcome. It temporarily unified a broad spectrum of organizations. Trade unions, political parties, and many associations demonstrated all together against the Israeli war crimes and in favor of the Palestinian resistance. Long time not seen. The protesters also blamed the complicity of French President Macron with the Israeli war crimes.
It's totally hypocrisy. The French government does not condemn the colonization and the ethnic cleansing in Jerusalem. The French government only condemns Palestinians when they defend themselves. Now there is a generalized outrage of all the Palestinians in Gaza, in Jerusalem, in the West Bank, in occupied cities since 1948, and in the refugee camps. Today, all these organizations act together to support the Palestinian resistance.
Many protesters salute the recent ceasefire concluded between Israel and Hamas, but they say it's a very temporary and partial ceasefire.
We're all happy about the ceasefire, but this doesn't fix all remaining problems. The colonization of Palestine by Israel has to be stopped. The political prisoners have to be released, and the apartheid policy has to end. It's a shame for the entire world. Macron said that Israel has the right to defend itself. It's a scandal. You don't defend yourself by killing children.
French President Macron indeed condemned the rockets fired by Hamas by saying that Israel has the right to defend itself. At the same moment, entire families and children died in Gaza under the Israeli bombs. His statement scandalized a lot of people.
We all want sanctions against Israel, divestment and a boycott of Israeli products so that pressure will increase to stop the colonization of the Palestinian territories. We denounce the complicity of the French government with Israel. France is not putting any pressure on Israel. Even worse, France collaborates with Israel economically and militarily.
The international NGO Human Rights Watch called the policy of Israel against the Palestinian population apartheid. These are strong words and a reference to the South African apartheid system decades ago. That system has been overcome by international pressure. Time to do the same with Israel.
The organizers here demand concrete sanctions against Israel from the French authorities and from the European Union. Chris Den Hond, Paris.
Yemenis have extended their congratulations to Palestinian people over the landmark victory of the resistance front against the criminal Israeli regime. They also say Yemen's financial support will persist until Palestinians regain all their usurped territories from the Zionist regime.
The victory of the Palestinian resistance was like a big blow to the Zionist enemy, who didn't expect the power of deterrence and the armed struggle that the Palestinian resistance showed in this battle, which prompted the Zionist entity to begin to recalculate its moves and declare a unilateral ceasefire in the beginning.
The spokesman for the anti-aggression parties of bloc lauded Iran for enhancing the financial and technical capabilities of Palestinian resistance factions. He said Iran has always been playing a key role in supporting the resistance front, mainly in Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria.
The Islamic Republic of Iran played a leading role via the Quds Force, which was led by Martyr Qasem Soleimani, and provided resistance fighters in Gaza with all kinds of weapons and training. There is also missile and financial support, and we thank the leadership in Iran for their unlimited support for the axis of resistance, whether in Palestine or Syria or in Lebanon.
During the 12 days of the Israeli aggression on Gaza, the Israeli attacks have killed scores of Palestinians, including women and children, and wounded more than 1,900 others, according to the Gazan Health Ministry, in what is said to be the fiercest war against Palestinians over the past 7 years.
Yemenis appraised the victory of the Palestinian resistance, saying it is a source of pride for the entire nation. They say this victory is the first step toward the full liberation of all occupied Palestinian territories. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
A ceasefire between Israel and Hamas took place on Friday after the worst violence in years. But some clashes broke out around Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem Al-Quds, where similar scenes touched off the Gaza conflict. Israel's bombardment of Gaza stopped after 11 days under a deal brokered by Egypt, which is negotiating with both sides on how to maintain stability. Right after the ceasefire, Palestinians took to streets in Gaza, embracing one another to celebrate the victory against Israel. Mosques also played the song of the victory of the resistance, and people in cars flew Palestinian flags. In order to look into different aspects of this victory, we attended a meeting in which Palestinian officials elaborated on the recent triumph.
It was a great victory for Palestinians because Israel lost around $2 billion following their defeat during this 11-day war. But they also lost billions of dollars as their propaganda machine failed, and all the world now knows about their media hype and the lies that they are trying to disseminate.
Iran's former ambassador to Jordan also talked to the reporters, saying that the Palestinian resistance is getting stronger day by day.
The blockaded Gaza is just 292 square kilometers, and it has been under siege for several years. But the Israeli regime didn't dare to conduct ground operations to occupy this small strip. It shows that Israel has suffered a strategic defeat this time again.
Finally, they set forth plans and ways on how to protect civilians during the wars. panelists at this conference also congratulated Palestinians on their great victory against Israel. Human Abedi, Tehran.
South Korea is betting big on semiconductors, with the country's tech giants investing billions of dollars in new plants and the government providing tax breaks.